Okay, we are continuing in Orcha Sadiq, and we are in the fourth paragraph of the Shar HaKa'as. So the Orcha Sadiq continues to speak about the evils of a person of getting angry, and the kind of terrible life that a person could have if he's always getting angry for any small reason. Says the Orcha Sadiq, HaKa'as on Ein L'chein B'nei Abrios V'usanu B'neihem. No one likes people who are getting angry all the time. So it's not going to make you Mr. Popular. And in general, in life, it's very good to have positive relationships with people. Very beneficial. And ultimately, people who don't get along with others, or who others are suspicious of, or do not like, generally have a more difficult time traversing the challenges of life. So it's a very bad idea to get angry, because no one's going to like you. No one likes people who get angry all the time. And if you're someone who gets angry, then everything you do is going to be looked at with a jaundiced eye. Everyone's going to look at you and say, even your mitzvahs, they're going to say, oh, that guy thinks that he could do a mitzvah. That, you know, I know what that guy's really all about. No one's going to be mekabel. Even when you otherwise would have been setting a good example for other people, let's say a person is a balkas, but he's a tremendous masmid. So normally when he's a tremendous masmid, that sets a beautiful example for other people, something to aspire to, something to admire. But if someone doesn't like him, then they're not going to see that as something to admire. They're not going to be mekabel anything from that. To the contrary, when we have strong emotional feelings about somebody, we tend to interpret everything they do within our prejudgment of that person. So if you have a person that you like and that you think is a really wonderful person, and he does something that seems questionable, so you're always on the kafschus. But if you have someone that you really don't like and you really think is an awful person, and then he does something that seems questionable, so you'll naturally assume that he's just doing something awful, that it's actually awful. Even if the person is ben Torah, he learns a lot, and he does many other maisim tovim, ein ha'olam lemeidimi menu. People will not learn from him. They're not going to learn his Torah. They're not going to learn from his Maisim Tovim, because as we said, they're going to interpret everything in the negative. They're not going to see him as an inspiration, as someone to aspire to be like. That's one of the arguments to be made as to, you know, there was a criticism of years back of many of the Gedolim biographies that are written, that it makes all the Gedolim seem like angels. Like they have no negative midos whatsoever, and that they never made a mistake, they never do any averos, they never did, you know, they have nothing negative. There's always, so that criticism was that, you know, it makes every gadol seem like they're the same person. That you don't see anything unique about that gadol, and that sort of cheapens what that gadol is. Meaning, if you're going to write a biography of Aaron Cutler, and you're not going to talk about how his sister was a communist who tried her hardest to try to get him to leave Torah and Yiddishkeit, and how the altar helped him overcome that by intercepting his sister's letters and not letting him see them, and and essentially pushing very hard to make sure that Rav Aaron Cutler found out about that, and how Rav Aaron Cutler went to the train to leave Slobodka because he was so angry at the altar for stealing all of his letters, and the altar had to go to the train station and bring Rav Aaron Cutler back. And what would have happened if he was unsuccessful in convincing? It's just unbelievable. Like, that, you're missing something about Rav Aaron Cutler. I mean, can you really understand why Rav Aaron Cutler was so anti-secularism, anti-college and secular education, if you don't know that chapter of his life? I mean, you can't really understand what he's... It just makes... If all you see in the biography... And I don't know, I never read the Rav Aaron Cutler biography, so I don't know if it is or isn't there. But if all you read is he was a big masmid and he was a tzaddik, it's all true. He was a masmid, he was a tzaddik. But that's the same as every other gadol. It doesn't tell you what actually makes him unique. So years ago, Rabbi Schwab, Zichrono Livracha, wrote a response as to why it's important that the biographies not be totally honest. That the biographies be the way that they are, where it only paints the best and brightest and most cheerful picture possible. And one of his tainas was that the purpose of a biography is not to learn about the ins and outs of a person's life. Of a gadol biography is not to learn about the ins and outs of the person's life, just to be inspired. And why would you take something that's not inspired me? If you take something that's not inspired, meaning if you were to, let's say there was a Gadol B'Torah who had some sort of personality fault, and you would highlight that in the biography, so then someone is going to read it and say, oh, someone with that fault, that is someone who, you know, you tell the story where the person seems like a Baal Gaiva. Someone is a Baal Gaiva, so then the whole rest of the biography, I'm not going to be Mekabel anything that it says, because I've already passed judgment by that one bad midah that I noticed. It's interesting, I didn't mention it in the Shmooze last night, or whatever you call what last night was, the modern Orthodox talk or whatever. It's also interesting, I've gotten a lot of feedback already today. Some people saying, like, what did you do? You didn't say anything. Like, there's no chidushim in the whole thing. Other people saying, wow, it was so eye-opening. I never heard of modern Orthodoxy before. So I guess, you know, I don't know what that means. But so one of the things that Rav Lichtenstein pointed out, that he was very disturbed that when Rav Aaron Cutler, Zichron Levracha, passed away, he said that the Hespedim were so monotonous and they sounded like they could be describing anybody. And the only one, he said, that really gave a beautiful Hesped for Rav Aaron Cutler was Irving Bunim. Irving Bunim was a balabas. He was very involved in the Aguda, and he was very close to Ron Cutler. He said he by far gave the best aspect. Because everyone else was talking about he was a genius, and a masmid, and Torah. It could have been describing anybody. Could have been, you know, pick your member of the Mezes Gedolei Torah from the last 50 years. It could have been any one of them. But Irving Bunim had a way of capturing the fire that was Ron Cutler. Because so Rav Lichtenstein suggested it's because of his exposure to the secular world, so he was able to see more layers and didn't see things in a monotonous way. Okay, maybe yeah, maybe no, whether that's the interpretation or not, but there's a certain something to capturing. You know, when I think of Rav Aaron Cutler, I think of you can find it on YouTube. There's a Rav Aaron Cutler invited Rav Soloveitchik to speak at the Chinuch Atzmai dinner, which was curious to begin with, because Chinuch Atzmai was all about breaking away from the government schools in Israel because we don't trust them, and creating a separate yeshiva system that will be pure Torah. And Rav Aaron Cutler invested tremendous effort and money and did a lot of fundraising for Chinuch Atzmai at the expense of Lakewood. Even he thought that this was really, really important. And And Rav Soloveitchik, you know, was the president of Mizrahi, so like, he was into the government and thought that the government schools, that there was what to work with. So it was an interesting, choice of speakers. Rav Soloveitchik was an outstanding speaker, and he had a tremendous respect for Rav Aaron Cutler, so he wasn't going to say no. So you could actually listen to the speech. You wouldn't want to; it's in Yiddish, but I mean, you might want to just to hear it. At some point, there's Rav Soloveitchik starts talking about Rav Aaron Cutler. And he says, Rav Aaron Cutler, he's the first person that I've seen since my grandfather that reminds me of my grandfather. That's a Gadol Ador like my grandfather was, like Reb Chaim. That's a Gadol Ador like the Beis Halevi. And you hear Rav Aaron Cutler, he was supposedly, I don't think it's a video, I think it's just an audio, but they say that he was yanking, Rav Aaron was sitting right next to Rav Soloveitchik, Rav Aaron was yanking on his jacket when he started saying that. And he was saying, "Das ist nicht MS, nicht MS, nicht MS. Das ist Schecker, das ist Schecker." Like he couldn't tolerate it. He couldn't handle hearing himself compared to Reb Chaim. So he was trying to get Soloveitchik to stop saying that stuff. It was very fascinating. Like, that's what I think of when you think of Reb Aaron Cutler. But okay, I mean, obviously you think of Lakewood. You think of, like, you know, a man that started a yeshiva with 10 guys and was hoping to one day build it up to 20. You know, like, unbelievable. 6,000 guys living in Lakewood. It really grew under Rav Schneer. You know, it was still small under Rav Aaron. But, but that's like, just like David HaMelech is credited with the Beis HaMikdash, that it's Sukkos David HaMelech, because David HaMelech put all the kokos. So yeah, it grew under Rav Schneer, but it's Rav Aaron's yeshiva, and there's no doubt about it that it's Rav Aaron's yeshiva. Anyway, so a person has all these mitzvahs, ma'asim, tovim. If you highlight something negative, like Rav Schwab said about the Gadol biographies, if you highlight something negative, you run the risk of losing all the inspiration that's going to be gained from all the positive. Because someone is going to look at the negative, they're not going to look at any of the positive anymore, because they're going to think of the person with, you know, with from the perspective of that negative trait. Hakaasan, someone who gets angry all the time, who kovid al b'nei beso, hashomim tamid kaaso tlunoso, that a person who gets angry is overbearing on the people, on his family, more than anybody else. It's as difficult as he is to deal with for other people, for his family members, it's unbearable. Why? Because it's tamid, it's constant. You know, there's a certain, they say that that it's much easier to be a grandparent than to be a parent, right? Because if grandparents get the kids in spurts, right? In short spurts. But you know, if you're going through the challenges of, you know, a person going through adolescence or going through even like terrible twos or whatever, you know, whatever whatever stage in life that they're going through, when it's a constant and like you're always responsible, so it's much more challenging. If you can go in and out as you please, you know, so then it's a little bit easier to handle. So when you're dealing with lahavdil, obviously, but when you're dealing with someone with very negative character traits, so if you can go in and out of the person's life, you know, you encounter them, but okay, then I'll leave and I'll go back to my regular life and I don't have to worry about this person anymore. I don't have to be living with this person. That's one thing. It's more manageable. But if you're constantly living it, it could be overwhelming. You know, when people go through tsaros sometimes, so you're with a person who's going through a tsar and you feel the pain and it's mamish, so difficult and so painful to watch. But at the same time, if it's not your tsar, you go home to your family after that and like you're in a happy place. You're not, but for them, they're not going home. They're staying in the hospital 24 hours a day for weeks. You know, if you deal with certain people that are going through things like that, and it's something that's like it's overwhelming. So a person has to deal with someone who's a Baal Kas. There's no escaping it, and it can really destroy their lives. The Korav Hadavar Lo, lovely day Takala. And it's going to cause a lot of takala. Why will it cause takala? Because if people are terrified of you, they'll do whatever they can to avoid your wrath. And even if that means that they're going to lie to you, and even if it means that they're going to be machshil you in an isser. Meaning if, let's say, a husband gets angry every time his wife doesn't have dinner exactly the way he likes it, exactly on time or whatever, and something went wrong in the kashrus, or something, you know, some milk fell into the meat stew, and now if she starts all over again, dinner's not going to be ready in time. So the husband comes home. Everything okay with this dinner? Yeah, everything's fine. Everything's fine. Because she doesn't want to deal with it. She doesn't want to deal with his anger. She doesn't want to deal with the way he's going to respond. Kimoa hu maisa Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel asher bikshu b'nei beis la'achilu evim menachai, like the maisa in Gittin Dav Zayin Amar Aleph of Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel, where they almost fed him evim menachai. What's the case? Remember the story? Yeah. So they just ripped the leg off on Shabbos and gave it to him. Okay, so that could be very bad. Obviously, evim menachai is pretty significant affair. Hakasan. A person who's a Baal Kas also is not a forgiving person. He's not someone who's going to let things slide. He's not someone who's going to be able to say, you know what, okay, so they did something bad to me, but we can move on, I can get on with life. They're going to live in that moment, and they're always going to see that that wrong that they feel they were wronged with. They're always going to feel that sense of resentment and anger. And because of that, he's always going to be looking to seek revenge. He's always going to be looking for his opportunity to get back at the person who wronged him, who did something terrible to him. You know what? We'll stop there. The next paragraph is a longer paragraph, and we'll just get going soon. Okay.